Sick
answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Oh, kids, we're back with another Answer of the Week, but...
Oh, brace yourself.
And this one is going to be a doozy. Here's how it works. Every week on our regular show that I host, Matt Baum, one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast, along with my buddy Joe Patrick. Say hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Joe Patrick posts the question of the week on our forums. We also mention it on our show. You then contact us through several different ways. We'll get into it at the end of this show. You can send us an MP3. You can call us at 402-819-4894. Or you can go to the forums and just write about it. But if you do that, you're not going to make it on the show. Joe Patrick, before we show these listeners some shining examples of people that did make it on the show, you got to tell us what we asked the listeners this week.
Gladly. This week's question was, in honor of the news of Lucifer from Vertigo getting made into a TV show, what is the weirdest comic that you can think of that would also make a great show? Now, I did clarify a bit on the forums. I didn't necessarily mean like a bizarre show.
Right, right, right.
Like just an odd choice.
Just like, that's what they're going to make into a show?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. Like, an odd fit.
Right.
But that you can make a case for it being great on
sure.
TV. Like
Bucky O'Hare, for example.
Bucky O'Hare already made it to TV.
Oh, that's right. It was a cartoon briefly. Yeah. For like 5 minutes.
It was on at 6 o'clock in the morning. I watched it before school.
Let's get to it. Randy Andrews retakes the throne as our first caller. Take it away, Rando.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in with a question of the week. You had asked us about weird comic choices for a TV series. Well, guys, I have to pick Atomic Robo. You know, the robot that helps beat giant monsters and blow up bigger robots with weapons? There's always new villains and heroes because Atomic Robo can live a really, really long time. Anyway, I think it would be a ton of fun for a TV show. Weird, yes, but definitely could be successful if done right. Well, that's all that I have for you this week, guys. Hope you like it. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. The music I'm using today is for RoboCop. So, anyway,
right on.
You guys have a good day and see you in a week.
Atomic Robo, RoboCop, I see you working, Randy.
I get it. Randy, I'm going to confess something to you. I had no idea what I was going to pick for this answer, and you, right out of the gate, hit me with probably the most perfect answer I could have imagined.
Okay.
I think that that is a wonderful idea.
It's a great answer. I just don't think it's that weird. I think that's one that would totally lend itself.
The second he said the words Atomic Robo, I just started to get excited.
Yeah, it'd be a great show. I would love it.
Good job, Randy. Starting us off right.
Looks like we got a first-time caller here. I'm not sure who it is. Let's see what we got.
This is Dom Janicek, Legend Comics and Coffee regular.
Oh, okay.
Welcome aboard, Dom. Lay it on us. Wait, sorry. That's another segment.
That's something else.
Hi there, Matt. My name is Dominic, and this is my first question of the week answer. The question was, what is the weirdest comic that would make for a great TV show?
Slow down there, Dom.
The answer is simple. Dinosaurs for hire. Guns, babes in bikinis, and dinosaurs. What more could you ask for in a TV show? So maybe it would have to be in a cartoon. Live action can't be ruled out. It's been 20 years since that show, aptly named Dinosaurs, was on ABC. Maybe the world is ready for a new version of live action dinosaur characters. How do we know unless we try?
Exactly.
It shouldn't be hard to get Michael Chiklis to play Reese, the one-eyed Stegosaurus with all the heavy guns, or Ed O'Neill as Lorenzo, the Hawaiian shirt-wearing Triceratops.
Bunch of old dudes playing these guys.
Even try to get George Lopez as Archie the T-Rex. Like I said, dinosaurs, guns, and babes in bikinis. There you have it. Guess what, folks? That's my answer, and I am out of here.
I loved the old Dinosaurs for Hire comic book from Eternity. Tom Mason created it, wrote it, and drew it. They made a terrible video game out of it.
I think there was a cartoon.
I don't believe there was. I was just searching because I thought there was. And I was just searching. I couldn't find anything.
There was Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
There was Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And that was awful. They ruined a wonderful Mark Schultz book. I love the first Dinosaurs for Hire. Cool answer, Dominic. Thank you for calling in. That was awesome.
And welcome aboard, buddy. We'll see you soon.
That was fun. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I love casting. It takes me back to the days of Wizard Magazine not having any news and casting your favorite movies that aren't being made.
Right, right.
Let's check our voicemail and see who called this week. This one's from Lincoln.
Oh, I know who this is.
Do you?
Yep.
Hey there, Joe and Matt. This is Elise Wisdom, part-time nerd and full-time lady. I heard you nerds calling out my name in the middle of the night in your Chameleons episode and decided to answer with my pick for weirdest comic to be made into a TV show.
Don't make it
now,
weird,
because
Elise.
Because I'm a classy broad and I love any excuse to talk about it, my choice is Garth Ennis's one-off, The Pro. It's messed up, funny, and because it's a one-off, I think that leaves a lot of freedom to take liberties and expand on that universe. It would have to be on Netflix or HBO for censorship reasons. I would prefer Netflix because HBO gets really mad when you steal their stuff. In a perfect world, James Gunn would be ideal to direct. The lead role of The Pro was a tough one, but after a lot of thought, I think Elizabeth Banks would be a great pro. I might have to turn to the forums for some of my other choices and why I ultimately went with Banks. I'd like to see Sarah Silverman as the lady. I did consider her for The Pro, but her humor is more poo joke and adorableness based. I don't really see her as a belligerent hooker. For the saint, I'm thinking Nathan Fillion a la Captain Hammer. The knight should be Michael Keaton. His trusty sidekick, the squire, Nick Lovin. And for the lime and Speedo, JD and Turk from Scrubs. I'll be looking for my check in the mail from Hollywood, because I just crapped out TV gold. Till next time, nerds, Wisdom out.
Nice f***ing call, Elise. This is what happens.
That was awesome.
This is what happens when you call someone out at Oktoberfest for not calling.
She was so nervous. We've been emailing back and forth at the shop.
That was great. Give me a break. Man. That was great. She knocked it out of the park. I loved it.
She said she threw up after.
Oh, good God. Give me a break. Seriously.
We're intimidating. I love that. I loved it. And I loved all of her casting.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Totally great. Totally great. I would watch the hell out of that show.
Hey, Elise. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Elise. I think we got another welcome aboard here. We got an MP3 from a guy named Hutch. Hi, I'm Hutch. I listen to you guys. Sometimes I have opinions. Generally, they are correct. Enjoy my correct opinion on weird TV shows. It is correct.
Toodles.
We'll see, Hutch. We will see.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Hutch. First time, long time.
Listening to the faint in the background.
I
like that.
Want to see some amazingly weird comic like Transmet, East to West, or Cobra on TV, those books would never work as well as television shows. There's too many special effects, crazy settings, and it'd be just way too expensive. It'd have to be animated, and then what's the point? Might as well just read the damn comic. Though, I guess that did work out for Max. While I'm tempted to pick one of the many Brubaker Epting series, as they'd all be amazing on TV, they wouldn't exactly be the weirdest thing on there. Lovecrafty stuff is pretty weird, but not exactly new territory. So what kind of comic would be both very weird and work on TV? It is a different medium, people. It needs different considerations. Sex Criminals. It's got everything a successful TV show needs. Sex, humor, and great fully realized characters. Sure, it'd probably have to be on HBO or Showtime, but that's where most of the best shows end up these days anyway. And the first time the viewer is introduced to The Quiet, where we see John in his boss's potted plant, or Kegel Face's dildo collection, it'd just be the right kind of weird that I think would do amazingly well on screen. Well, that's my pick. I look forward to hearing about how that is your favorite pick, because of course it's the best. Remember for life, Hutch.
Hutch, you are correct. That would be an awesome show.
It's got everything a good show needs.
It does.
Sex, criminals. You know what? He's confident. I'll give him that.
I love it. He's correct. He's right. He's correct. Hutch, welcome aboard. I like that answer.
That's a good answer.
That's
so
a great
far,
one.
Everyone is knocking it out of the park.
Kicking ass. Back to the voicemail. Uh-oh. I think we have another lady.
Hey guys, this is Amy, yet another first-time caller who happens to be a female.
Awesome!
Rachel girls always go to the bathroom together, right? One call, we all call, I guess. Anyway, long-time listener, not sure why I haven't called before, but this question of the week is something I thought about with all the recent comic book show announcements, so thought I'd take the leap, if you will. My answer for the weird comic that I would like to see on TV is American Vampire. It's not really weird in the traditional sense, but it is dark and twisted and obviously violent, and it's not an established book from the Big Two. Well, Big Two proper, at least, since it's from Vertigo, so I hope it counts. I'm a huge fan of all things Scott Snyder, but this series sparks my imagination. One of those comics I can't stop thinking about after reading it, and I can't wait for the next one. And I think there's a ton of material for a TV series. I mean, the book is packed with vampire lore. There's different species of vampires. Some are closer to humans. Some are basically just like mindless monsters with different abilities and different vulnerabilities. It also moves through time periods. My favorite issues are the ones from the Old West, but it follows the central characters through the Roaring Twenties, World War II, the 50s and 60s, Vietnam, all the way to present day, so there's lots of places to go for multiple seasons. And then there's the main vampire, Skinner Sweet, who's brilliantly developed, as is Pearl, but Scott Snyder carefully kind of keeps a certain element of mystery around Skinner, which makes him more intriguing to me. Sort of walks that line between ruthless, remorseless, brutal creature, and having that moment where he remembers he used to be human and used to care about people. Great drama. He's a great main character. And the art in the books is really wonderful by Raphael Albuquerque, and I think Sean Murphy did it for a while, too. So the imagery is kind of already in place to set the tone of the show. It's a little bit of an odd choice now since the vampire craze of the mid-2000s has sort of died down, but I think there's still an audience for this kind of stuff. Just look at The Strain on FX or Sleepy Hollow. That's the kind of show it would be, and I think it's pretty rad. I also love Snyder's series, The Wake, and I think that could be a cool and weird kind of sci-fi channel comes on right after Sharknado miniseries, but, you know, that's beside the point. So that's it, American Vampire, my first answer to a question of the week. Hope you like it, and hope I can make the trek down from North Dakota soon. I have some family in Iowa not too far from you guys, so maybe I'll get to check out the shop someday. Thanks for the great podcast.
Thank you, Amy.
Amy, we'll pencil you in. Come have drinks with us. That'd be awesome.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you for your call. That was totally great. American Vampire. My only complaint is, yeah, it might lend itself a little too well. You know, like if they say that I've been waiting for the announcement that American Vampire is going to be a TV show like any day now. You know?
Yeah, but you know, it's so caught up in the period nature of it with World War II and Vietnam and the 50s and stuff, that it would be a tough show to make, man.
Well, I mean, like, they're making Boardwalk Empire.
And it's but the thing is that it's constantly changing.
That is true. That is true.
So I think that it would be a tough nut to crack. I think that's a great answer.
I love the answer, though. I'd love to see an American Vampire show. Amy, thank you for your lady power. We appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Doc Flux. But I guarantee he's going to introduce himself. Nice.
In this episode of Doc Flux's answer to the question of the week, he would like to express the following in first person. I would rather like to see a BBC adaptation of the Dead Boy Detectives, created by Neil Gaiman and artist Matt Wagner, woven into the Sandman mythos long ago. The adventures follow prepubescence Edwin Payne and Charles Rowland, both boys meeting grisly and untimely demises within the halls of St. Hilarion's, an oppressive British boarding school reminiscent of that depicted in Pink Floyd's The Wall. Upon Vertigo's critically acclaimed miniseries, The Children's Crusade, the boys were compelled to become detectives of the paranormal variety and make the best of their presumably endless manifestation as ghosts by aiding the living and the dead. The latest series by Mark Buckingham and Tony Litt has been as nuanced and charming as anything on the printed page, and I believe that both the joltingly dark premise and the whimsical way in which the boys conduct themselves could make for an intensely original black comedy that could be even released in the hour and one half film format, very much like Sherlock, also on the BBC. The success of the show would indeed depend on casting talented children for the lead, and that of course could be the most challenging hurdle in an otherwise fascinating premise for a spooky and occasionally grim but ultimately funny and charming show dealing with the new and different set of characters each mystery.
When does
and
this
certainly
guy breathe?
They should make friends with the newest character
editing
in their ongoing series, a young living girl named Crystal, who possesses the power to communicate with the dead. That is my answer, and this has been Doc Flux of Feeded Comics on the BBC. Now back to the two-headed nerd.
Doc Flux with a kick-ass fake accent. That was awesome!
That was awesome.
That was totally awesome!
He edited out all his breaths. Did you really not get it?
Yeah, I know. I was going to try to get a word in edgewise. It's like, hey! guy. Oh, and nice Ulrich Schnauss in the background. I love that guy. Calling you out, music nerd.
Ah. Okay, when it started with like the clack clack, whatever those are called.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was the Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Oh, dear God, no. I would not be. Like, it's one of the worst songs ever written.
Obviously, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Doc Flux, good answer. Better MP3.
Yeah.
Welcome back. We missed you.
That was f***ing awesome, man. Thank you for coming back. We need you for our ratings, please. Our buddy Seanx has got an answer for us. He sends us an MP3. They always sound really good. The guy's got some serious fidelity. But for some reason, Safari Mail... Tell me this is junk. I'm going to tell you what, Safari Mail, I'm clicking right now. This ain't no junk. This is my buddy, Seanx.
Hello, Twitter nerd. Seanx emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Missed last week's question because I still don't have an opinion on Gotham. I'm still a little bit on the fence about that show. I might give it one more episode. Hopefully it will hook me. And then I'll watch it weekly, but it might just be watching it, you know, when three or four come out at a time. But anyway, I don't know. This show's just trying too hard. It's like that friend of yours.
He does have an opinion.
Coworker,
sounds like you do.
Classmate, you know, that you like him well enough, but there's those times that he brags to you about what characters he sold on his World of Warcraft characters he sold on eBay. It's like, I already like you. Quit trying too hard to impress me with, you know, weird, stupid stuff. But anyway, I think guys can all go back to, I think it was what comic would you like to see as a movie? I've got the same answer for this week on the question, because it was just like, Wildcats 3.0 needs to make it to the small, big, I don't care what screen. It can be screen printed on t-shirts each page, and I'll wear a new page every day. I would do that. I love that book well enough, and Kiefer Sutherland is not too old. He could play Grifter easily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would be a pretty good show. I think I'd watch it. Yeah, Matt, Kiefer's not too old. And Matt, you know, I gotta talk to you a little bit about Cyclops. I, myself, don't have a problem with Cyclops. I like him. Joss Whedon really made me like the character back in the day. But Marvel's treatment of him, especially in AVX and him shooting first, which it's totally out of character, that just started what the problem I have with Marvel and their treatment of Cyclops. That's why I don't like him, because he's not the same. He's not Cyclops. It's like, I don't know what to say about him. He shot first. That doesn't make any sense. He wouldn't do that. And that schism thing, I was all for Cyclops. It should have been Cyclops Beast instead of Cyclops Wolverine. That would have been a better story and made more sense, and maybe they wouldn't have had to kill Wolverine off after they kind of made him a hypocrite weird guy. He's a weird character now too. And Jake Olsen was never around. He died in the first issue of Thor. It wasn't until later when you found out he was a shady character.
Whoa.
And Mephisto, Loki went and talked to Mephisto and brought his soul back, or brought him back.
He's right. I remember now.
Laying it on us.
In that book. But yeah, it was always Thor as Jake Olsen.
He's laying a lot of different things on us.
Laying it out.
But just had to clarify some things, right some wrongs. Thanks for the questions, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Seanx, that was awesome. Laying it on us. Now, I will say, in defense of Cyclops, every other character in that book is saying, what happened to you? Like, Scott Summers, where did you go wrong? You know,
right, but
they're constantly pointing it out.
Having somebody say you're acting out of character is not the same thing as explaining why they're acting out of character.
No, I agree. But I will say at least they are addressing it.
Fair enough, I suppose.
Wildcats 3.0.
I'm into it.
That would be a tough one to pull off.
Whatever, dude. I'm into it.
I'll tell you what. I'd watch it. But man, I thought Wildcats 3.0 did a number on me. Then I met Seanx and I realized I am just fine. That book messed him up, man. I love that book, though. Good answer. Thank you, Seanx. We look forward to your call every week, and we appreciate you laying it on us. Let's get to the TD Dubs. He likes to call in, drop some knowledge on us. He's a smart guy. He works for us occasionally.
Does he?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe and Matt. It's the TD Dubs calling in for the question of the week. And first of all, I just want to say I spent part of the afternoon listening to last week's question of the week about Gotham, and I got to tell you, Matt Baum, you brought the truth, brother. Ham fisted!
Baboosh!
Indeed. Indeed, brother. What a whopping stinker that was. But anyway, I'd like to move on to the more recent question of the week, which was, what comic book would make a great TV show? And it's got to have a little bit of a weird vibe to it, or maybe it's sort of an unusual feel as far as, oh, they really picked that show, or they picked that comic book. And my choice will be Machine Man.
I love it.
And I'll try to keep it within the Jack Kirby 2001 Space Odyssey, maybe early Machine Man run with Marvel, just because that was a really cool comic back in the day. I didn't follow the more recent adaptations and changes that they made with Machine Man. I think that'd be sort of a cool retro type of TV show if it was put into the right hands. Kind of unusual character, very cool. Kind of got a little bit of a Inspector Gadget thing going on with all those arms and legs stretching everywhere. But I think that'd be a pretty awesome TV show. All right, guys. It was great calling in. Hope all is well. Talk to you later. Bye.
Man, that one would be weird as hell.
I love it, though.
I love it, too. My favorite thing about Machine Man coming out of the 2001 comic book adaptation is, like, Stan Lee came to Jack and was like, Jack, Stanley Kubrick wants you to do an adaptation of his space opera about humans' place in outer space and what it is to be human.
I don't know if that's how it went down.
And Jack Kirby went, stop! As long as it's got a superhero, I'm in!
I don't think that's how it went down.
Totally. You know, because like they obviously did not see the movie before their adaptation.
I feel like the 2001 comic is more than an adaptation.
It was like the first Star Wars comics where they were like, okay, so let me get this straight. Luke Skywalker's a good guy and Darth Vader's a bad guy. Got it. We'll take it from here. Han Solo and Space Bunny show up, you know, and save everybody.
Thanks, buddy, for calling in.
Great call.
Good to hear from you.
Machine Man, a la 2001.
Now, Aaron Myers is up next, and I'm going to tell you, no joke, if this is what I think it is, that dude stole my answer.
Uh-oh, let's see.
Hey, guys, it's Aaron Myers, THN Love,
God,
slave and one half of the
again.
Comics
Back
Therapy
to the
podcast. Sorry I couldn't call in this week. I'm sick with another killer cold, so I have my AI calling in for me.
Ebola.
Anyway, for my answer, I was thinking the current Prophet series would make a great sci-fi show.
Ooh, nope, totally.
It's so complex and epic, it could be something along the same lines as Battlestar Galactica. So that's my answer. Hope to call in properly next week.
Totally love it. Who plays Prophet? Who do you get to play Prophet?
I don't know.
That'd be somebody weird, man. Like, big, too. Not hulky, but big. The guy that played Richie Valens.
Lou Diamond Phillips?
Lou Diamond Phillips is my Prophet. Lou Diamond Phillips is Prophet.
He's not bulky.
Green light that now. In Stargate, he put on some weight. He was pretty ripped. He's a good looking dude.
I mean, I think Jason Momoa would probably be a good Prophet.
Get out of here. No, no, and no.
Because you would talk like this the whole time.
He's a big, scary looking guy.
I want your head.
He already ruined my Conan movie. He's now ruining Prophet as well.
All right, I didn't see the new Conan, so I don't know. I only know Game of Thrones.
Horrible. It was so bad.
All right. Hey, Aaron did not take my answer.
Didn't take your answer.
Listen, I can't believe it. So I'm sticking with it.
Okay, I think this is another first timer. I think it's a first timer.
Hi there, THN. First time, long time here. Calling about your question of the week with weirdest comic book to make an awesome TV show. This is kind of weird. This one came out about, it wasn't even 10 years ago, about 8, 7 years ago. It was Iron and the Maiden. Now that,
I know
that
Iron and the Maiden.
Quick, he's gone quick, but it was weird because it was in the 1930s, but in a different universe. I mean, you had your gangster from the 30s, you know, with your suits and your machine guns and all that, but they was like cybernetics in there too. And you had, you're just weird. But the reason it makes a great TV show, because that Francis Manipal was the artist on it, and he did them characters. Now, it's not the Francis Manipal y'all on now, you know, Flash, the detective, but it's different. It's like a Tim Lee, and he matched up with the manga, but it was in the arts, and it was, I mean, them characters is awesome, because I'd like to see them characters on a TV show, and the ladies would do it. It was Aspen Comics is what it was, so that's my answer. Iron in the Maiden, not Iron Maiden, because that band sued him, so I can't even use that name no more. That's I don't true. Even know what it's called, but that's Iron true. In the Maiden, with Francis Manipal as artist, that's my answer. All right, we'll talk to y'all later.
Who the f*** was that?
I didn't get his name. And I was like, this is somebody messing around. But then I looked, he's from Lady Lake, Florida. He is from Deep Bayou, Florida. You know, like full on.
Listen, whoever you are, thank you. Welcome aboard. He did not say his name.
I don't think he said his name. But like, thank you for the first time caller. Iron and the Maiden.
That is an outside the box choice.
That is way out there. And you know what? Awesome.
I haven't read it. And I know that it's an Aspen comic, but by all accounts, that book is actually great.
They did get sued by Iron Maiden.
Yeah, it's called something else now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jason, the guy that owns my boss at Legend Comics and Coffee, he loved that book. He said it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
And Francis Manipal, of course, wonderful artist. Whoever you are, thank you.
Yeah, it was a great call, but you got to tell us your name, man. Call us next week with a new answer. We want to know what you think about the Flash show, and I want your damn name.
We want to give you your propers.
That's right. Our final call, Chris Miles hitting us with his answer of the week. We love hearing from you, Chris. Let's see what you got, buddy.
Hey, Joel, man. Chris Miles calling in my answer of the week. Feeling a little under the weather, laying here on the couch, marathoning Sons of Anarchy.
Nice.
My man, John Luttrell from Burt Wiener.
I hate that show.
He's being the Venus to my Tig. Nursing me back to health.
Ooh.
Stroking my belly hair. Decided I should give you a call. Let you know my thoughts. Comic to adapt into a TV series. I gotta go again. Tim Eldred. Grease Monkey. Picture in a dirty lived-in space kind of world. Like Outland. Or something from John Carpenter Dark Star. Or... you know, like Babylon 5, or maybe that episode of Battlestar Galactica where the chief has to deal with the mutinous workers on strike on the one ship.
Show. It's a good
and,
episode.
And, you know, it's Grease Monkey. You got humanity striving to fight back against a genocidal alien race that nearly wiped out humanity. They had to turn to the apes. Genetically evolve a couple apes to help shore up their ranks. We follow Mac,
the transcript
mechanic, the ace mechanic, keeping the all female fighter squadron out there kicking alien butt. But he's antisocial and needs to work on his people skills. So we have the overall story arc of the battle against the aliens, and then you have the day to day. Mac just getting dirty, blue collar shenanigans. I think he'd be a winner. I believe they even tried to pitch it as a cartoon once, so you know it's good to go. It's series material. Well, that's my thoughts. Talk to you boys next week.
Chris Miles loves Grease Monkey.
He loves it. Every time he said the word apes, Google transcript thought he was saying AIDS. Full-blown AIDS. Chris, I'm sorry you're under the weather, buddy. I hope you are feeling better soon. This call came in while we were recording, so obviously still very sick. His thoughts about Grease Monkey are
I'd watch
already established
show.
For the record.
I would watch the hell out of that show. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, can't disagree.
I got a thing for talking monkeys, too.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, you make monkeys talk. I'm down.
You got some weird proclivities. Fun fact, Chris Miles called us earlier in the week to lay it on us.
It's true.
He called us no fewer than 3 times this week.
Let's get him
once
right now.
Once was aborted. He ejected out of that call. Lay it on me, baby. That's the way.
Chris, the floor is yours. Lay it on us, buddy.
Hey, going mad. It's Chris Miles. Nerds calling to lay it in on you about Mr. Alan Moore, last person that he worked on their project, and it wasn't his original idea, was it's got to be over 15 years ago. It's got to be Liefeld, Rob Liefeld Supreme, his horrible Superman knockoff that Alan Moore turned into an Eisner-winning story. So,
I can't believe
pretty sure somebody else might know more than me, but I want a nerd stripe. Give me it.
You get it.
You absolutely get a nerd stripe for that one. And I can't believe it's embarrassing.
Yep.
That the both of us forgot f***ing Supreme.
Justin O'Connor laid it on us over at our Facebook page with extreme prejudice.
He was not as nice.
You know, I confess, I didn't read that run.
I did.
I've never read it.
I did.
So I don't think of it.
I didn't love it, but I did read it.
And it was like a very Silver Age Superman.
Markedly better than what was going on in Supreme before that.
But I think you're probably right that is...
That's absolutely
the last time Alan Moore played in somebody else's sandbox.
That's true.
So, Chris, thanks for laying it on us. Feel better, buddy.
Favorite call?
You know what? It's hard not to give it to Randy Andrews because the Atomic Robo idea was just so perfect.
It's hard for me not to give it to Doc Flux.
But I'm giving it to Elise.
Okay.
Because she called in. She nailed it. She had a perfect cast.
Yes.
And she was confident. She's like, this is it. Boom. Eat it. She probably didn't say eat it.
She didn't say eat it. I'm giving it to Elise as well because I think the pro would be a fantastic television show. Snarky, gnarly, superpowered prostitute.
I kind of view it as like an adult version of The Tick, right? Because these are all
absolutely
ridiculous archetypes of well-known characters. I think the pro would lend itself very well to like a Netflix or an HBO. I think Elise's idea, though it may not be my first choice for idea, she had the most fully realized.
Definitely.
Like, when she listed the cast, I was like, yes, yes.
Oh, totally.
Yes,
totally.
Yes, yes.
Although Doc Flux and his Dead Boy Detective suggestion, that was wonderful.
Oh, sure.
That was just wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Elise.
Everybody nailed it. Everybody.
First time caller, congratulations on your first win. Way to go, Elise.
One for one.
That's one.
It's all downhill from here.
Got a lot of catching up to do. If you're going to catch up with the THN old timer, he's been racking them up. Joe Patrick, give me your pitch.
All right. I'm going to confess, man.
Give it to me.
I struggled with this. I struggled because I didn't have one. I didn't have one until we got here. And I thought that I was going to pick Hitman.
Okay.
Because you mentioned it offhand last week when we announced the question. And I haven't been able to get it out of my mind since. But
I feel like Hitman's one of those things that would be tough, though.
I don't think it would be any tougher than any of these others.
Well, I mean, just in the sense that, like, one of the great things about Hitman was, like, when he went to try out for the Justice League and to look through Wonder Woman's
but
clothes.
I think
like,
that
you couldn't do stuff like
that. I think that Hitman is the sort of thing that you can completely remove from the DC universe.
Definitely.
Because most of the stuff that he did had nothing to do with Batman or anything.
It was just funny when
it was funny when that happened. Yes. But most of the time you couldn't. But. While I was listening to everybody's calls, like an idea started to percolate in my head and I got an answer that was not inspired by something you just tossed off last week. And when I said that Aaron was going to steal my answer, it's because I thought for sure that he was going to say Rom.
Rom Space Knight?
Rom Space Knight. As we listened to
punching himself right now.
I know. As we listened to everybody's calls and people started talking about, robot adventure and you know, aliens and this and that. And it just, things started to click in my mind. Rom would be a great show. And what it reminded me of, the idea of it would be like those, some people love them. But those syndicated sci-fi shows from the late 90s, early 2000s, like Farscape or Babylon 5.
Oh, right. Where, Sliders and like
yeah,
all
where
that
you
stuff.
Could have crazy sci-fi elements, but not like break the bank, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be...
The CG is caught up. It's not that expensive
anymore. It doesn't have
anymore.
To be like Hollywood quality. Like Doctor Who does it every week. And Rom as a premise is something that was shoehorned into the Marvel Universe. You could just shoehorn it right back out.
Sure. And no one would know.
So it's the adventures of an alien man, a space knight, who's been fused to a suit of armor, and he's chasing his ancient enemies across the galaxy, the Dire Wraiths, and they've come to Earth, and they're hiding as humans, and so he lands on Earth to root out and destroy the Dire Wraiths that have infiltrated humanity.
With extreme prejudice.
With extreme prejudice and super cool gadgets.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Space Knight army out there, but he's separated from them because he's on Earth and they're on Galador. And he meets an Earth woman and they fall in love, but he can't take off the suit because
Bummer.
It's fused to him.
So he can't
like,
seal the deal.
I feel like if you're going to do a show.
Baby, I can't get these robot pants off. I'm sorry.
I feel like.
And I've been pooping in here for years, so maybe it's better that I don't.
I feel like if they were going to do a ROM show, they would have to rework it so that he,
oh, yeah.
Not that maybe he doesn't take off the suit, but you can see his face.
We'd have to see his face at yeah. some point.
But I just think that is such a great idea.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great as a serialized thing where it's like, well, now who's, oh God, the president's a Dire Wraith.
Ooh.
And so ROM is accused of assassinating the president.
That is why Obama has ruined America.
Oh,
he's
man.
A Dire Wraith.
Yeah, I just think that would be so
ROM?
Fun.
Who plays ROM?
Oh, don't ask me. I'm bad at that stuff.
Just, you know.
I don't even really know what ROM looks like.
That's up to you. You're pitching the show.
No, I'm not good at that. I'm not doing casting.
Come on.
I'm
you
bad
don't
at
walk
it.
Into my office with a script and an idea and no actors attached to it.
Listen.
Come on. You want this green lit or what?
Not everyone attached an actor to theirs.
You're never going to make it in this business, kid.
I'm bad at the fantasy casting game. I admit it. Paul Giamatti is ROM.
Oh, God.
There. Yeah. It worked in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Perfect. I love it. Yes.
Callback.
Perfect.
What's your pick?
Callback to the other show. Not even this show. My pick came to me pretty fast. I love Ray Donovan. I've been watching the hell out of it. It's a Showtime show. Liev Schreiber is a Hollywood fixer, basically. He's a total badass from Southie, Boston. He's got a thick accent. He brought his family out with him. And he solves problems. You wake up with a dead hooker in your bed and you're a super famous basketball player. You call Ray Donovan. He's going to take care
of
it.
So it's like Scandal for white dudes.
Exactly. But it's super hardcore. He's a total badass. In that same vein, I'm thinking of a character that is the exact opposite of Ray Donovan. He is not put together. He is ruined. He is a massive drug addict, but he's an alcoholic. He has a shock white hair that stands up and he wears an orange trench coat and carries around an oxygen mask. Warren Ellis's Desolation Jones. I love Desolation Jones.
I honestly forgot all about Desolation Jones.
It was Warren
Jones.
Ellis and J.H. Williams. Warren Ellis was telling us the story of an ex-agent who tried out for this project called the Desolation Project, where they put him on a hospital bed and didn't let him sleep for a year while showing him like violent, horrible, terrifying images of every awful thing you could possibly think of just to see what happens. You know, he was one of the only people that survived. He now lives in L.A. And L.A. is secretly a dumping ground for all the world's ex-agents.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
Spies and intelligence agents, they all go and live in L.A. The government is aware of it. As long as they stay in L.A., they are basically invisible to the police. They can pretty much do whatever they want. It'll get covered up. But if they leave LA, they're instantly rogue agents. Desolation Jones lives in LA, makes his living as a private detective for the other lunatic spies that have come out of all these different terrifying spy agencies from all over the world. There's so many great stories, and it can all be told in the background of LA, just like Ray Donovan is. Shot right there. I want Tim Roth to play my Desolation Jones.
That's pretty good.
He would be perfect, and that guy needs more work. I would watch the hell out of this show. It's like feel bad TV on the next level, basically. Superhuman feel bad TV. I think it'd be totally kick-ass.
Oh, man, I wish Global Frequency had made it.
I know. I do, too. But we're not talking about that. Right now, we're thanking everybody for their calls. This was awesome. We had new callers. We had female callers.
New callers at the yin-yang.
I loved it. It was so good to hear from everybody. Thank you, Hutch. Thank you, Elise. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Guy from Florida, who forgot to say his name. That was awesome. Call us back. Tell us who the hell you are, man.
Bayou Billy. I'm going to call him Bayou Billy.
For now, you're Bayou Billy. We will be back this weekend with a brand new Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. But before we sign off, Joe Patrick, tell the kids what next week's question of the week is.
All right. It gets real confusing because we're recording this on a Friday and it's going to post on a Wednesday. And the show will have aired last night by the time you hear this. We want to know what you thought of the first episode of The Flash.
Full spoilerific review.
Absolutely.
Let's dig into it. Let's get nerdy. Let's scream. Let's yell. Let's have feelings.
So, the show aired last night. If you're hearing this on Wednesday, you have until
Friday.
Friday at midnight to get us your thoughts.
Thank you so much again, you guys. You make this show what it is. Without your calls, we don't have one. This is your show. You can tune in to listen to Joe and I scream at each other and the other one anytime. This is a Two-Headed Nerd. Signing off.